is Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on stage and studio, James Dixon welcomes the directors of the Egg Summer Theater Academy for Portland Area High School Artists. Followed by at 11:30, Art Focus speaks to Julian Dolan about the show representing vernacular photographs of, by, and for African Americans. And now, coming up after this announcement is Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Better do it because I'll get shot upon for being late. Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, August 1st, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, and your whistleblower radio. And of course, we are fake news from the West Coast at 90.7 FM on the KBOO.FM everywhere. Well, it seems like it's a fire in the frat house week. Wow. And anyone who thought August might be drowsy in Washington, it looks like we've proved wrong again. A little weather here is going to be a hot week here on the West Coast also. For today, sunny and hot, highs over 99, and light northwest wind. Okay, and tonight, clear skies, lows around 67, winds 5 to 15, with gusts as high as 25 miles per hour. Don't be fooled. That's not going to blow the heat away, because brace yourself for Wednesday. Sunny and hot with a high near 105. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour to make things that much worse. And for tomorrow night, clear skies, lows. Lows, okay, around 17, not low to me, but anyone else, suit yourself. North winds 5 to 9 miles per hour. And moving right along, there is good news. All the rumblings about single payer, and we've definitely been doing our small part to boost the rumble. We have been hearing more and more as Republican attempts to hijack health care have crashed and burned time after time after time. They really do think that the American people are as stupid as they are. Very stupid people, very often, aren't able to see beyond their own stupidity. So they assume that they're the smart guys, so everybody else must be the stupid guys. So they assume that others are as stupid or more so than they are. And again and again, that assumption has proved true wrong. People took a look at these health care plans that are scams that they came up with and just laughed in some cases and roared with indignation in other cases. But very, very few people looked at the Republicans' efforts to reform Obamacare, admittedly a terrible health care plan itself, that looked at it, at their efforts, and said, oh, this looks terrific, sign me up right away. Nobody did that. Nobody wants any of these things that the Republicans are offering. It's obviously, once again, a handover to the private sector and concomitant, of course, tax breaks for the wealthy, and just hand over fist, throwing money into bulging coffers. So that goes on, and in fact, what it does is has the effect of creating the best advertising ever for single payer. That said, we have Margaret Flowers on today. Dr. Flowers and Kevin Zeese with the group popularresistance.org. Take a look. You can have a look at all kinds of state-of-the-art, up-to-the-minute work on single payer. Dr. Flowers, good morning. We're very pleased.
Good morning.
We're very happy to have you with us today. Yeah, so it looks like the Republicans have inadvertently been the best advertising ever for single payer. But it's been rumbled, as we've been saying, about for a while. So what does it look like from your point of view as in the trenches activists who've been fighting for this for years?
Sure, thanks. And I was down in Washington, D.C. during a lot of the great efforts that went on to stop the Republican plan from passing through the Senate. And I think what's really interesting about this moment right now is that people are really saying we don't want to continue on this same path anymore, that we really are demanding that now is the time for a national improved Medicare for all, and that so many people were also willing to go into Congress and do very courageous actions and bold actions, and hundreds of people were arrested over the last few weeks in Congress. So this is the kind of energy and movement and action that we need to shift the power to the real solution. And I think it's great that people are just, while the Democrats are saying, well, we have to fix the Affordable Care Act first and then maybe later we'll talk about single payer, the public is saying, no, we don't want that. We know that there's no way you can make the Affordable Care Act universal and affordable. We want to go straight now to national improved Medicare for all. And so that's what's happening, and we need to keep building on that momentum and continuing to have that demand.
And yeah, and of course, ceasing to attempt to tinker our way out of the faults in the Obamacare should make everybody happy. They can, you know, and of course, it's a couple of days ago, I think it was the 52nd anniversary of the passage of Medicare. It was initially, as I understand, intended to be a model that could be expanded to cover everyone. So that's been in the works. It's like there's no real obstacles that I can think of. But you, would there be any obstacles? I don't think so.
Well, the only obstacle are the industries that are currently profiteering off of our system and making, you know, tremendous amounts of money. But you're exactly right. Medicare's birthday was on Sunday, and it was initially intended to be a program that could be expanded to everyone. But there was a Democrat, Wilbur Mills, who put in the poison pill that kept that from happening. He created a three-tiered system, the two parts of Medicare plus Medicaid, instead of just one system that could be expanded. You know, we're spending enough money in the country right now to cover every person. The public seems to be on board. More and more organizations and entities are coming on board. Business, you know, is seeing this as the solution. Conservatives are speaking out and saying even some of the most capitalist countries recognize that healthcare is not a commodity and doesn't work well when you try to use a market solution. So the only thing that's lacking right now is the political will. And, you know, the Democrats, you know, I think both the Democrats and the Republicans are obstacles right now because they're funded so much by these industries. And so we need to keep that in mind, that it's up to us as people to educate ourselves, organize in our communities, put that demand on our members of Congress, and make it so no matter who they are, this is the only solution that's acceptable going forward.
It is really good news this week, and it gives people a pretty clear vision of what's at stake and what we're fighting for and why. Ignoring the Democrat says Obamacare business, and ignoring whatever it is the Republicans are coming up with, and just keep single-mindedly moving the country towards single payer. There aren't any real objections now, except those that are patently false. It seems like. The people who would say that they don't think they can get what they want with a single payer, well, they certainly aren't getting what anybody wants with what the situation as it stands. What would you just give us a blueprint for going forward? What would you urge people to do right now to move us further towards single payer?
Sure, thank you. So I think one that's really important, and this seems to be happening pretty organically, is that people are not willing to be distracted by tweaking the Affordable Care Act right now. So we know that Congress is, you know, members of Congress are already pushing out things like a so-called public option or Medicare buy-down, and we can't let those distract us. We're already paying enough for everyone right now. Members of Congress are going to be on summer break. This is a really important time for people in their communities to go visit their members of Congress or go to events that they're holding and push them to support the legislation that we have, H.R. 676, the Expanded and Improved Medicare for All Act. If they are already a co-sponsor and there's 116 members of Congress on there, urge them to be more active, to write about it, to speak about it, to really actively organize around it. If they're not on board, educate your members of Congress and pressure them to sign on. We need someone in the Senate to introduce a companion legislation to H.R. 676. Senator Sanders says that he's doing that. We haven't seen the final bill yet, but we do need to really compare it to H.R. 676 and make sure that it meets the high criteria that we've set forward if we're going to support it. But it's all, and then, you know, if your community is not already organized, start doing educational events, movie showings, bring in speakers to let people know about the solution, how to talk about it, how to advocate for it, and the Health Over Profit for Everyone campaign provides tools so that people can do these things.
Yeah, stake out one's local emergency room and just talk to people there. How do you plan to pay for this visit? There's probably a lot of really strong creative options for everybody to participate in a real revolution, because think of what would happen. I mean, aside from having everybody having proper health care, the amount of money that would be saved, what people would do with the time and effort and fear and that is already invested in one's own health, which is to be freed up from that to do other things. That's really inspiring too. I mean, imagining America without the burden of this the constant fear. That would be a different world in itself.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, and the there were criteria put forth recently by organizations about addressing global wealth inequality, and the United States has the highest degree of wealth inequality of industrialized nations, and their top priority was social investment in healthcare and education. So this would go a long way in having a healthier population, as you said, people having more money to pay for the other necessities that they have, like food, a place to live, and then really just creating a sense of social solidarity that, you know, unites us to fight for the other things that we need.
Yeah, it would be what the one thing in the whole country that unites everybody.
Right.
And that's something to, that's not a dream anymore. That's a reality, and it's very close. And when all the Democrats and Republicans are fighting like dogs over a piece of meat under the table, now's the time to push this forward. People really are ready. Any final last thought or contact number? What do you recommend?
Well, I just really urge people to go to www.healthoverprofit.org. You can sign up to get on the email list. We have educational national calls every other week. There are tools on the various tool pages and an action map. And if there's something there, you know, if there's something that you don't see that you want, let us know. Get in touch. We also have a window sign campaign that people are putting windows in their homes and their cars just to spread the word about this and increase the visibility for National Improved Medicare for All.
Thank you so much, Dr. Flowers, Dr. Margaret Flowers, joining us today. Thank you for being with us to talk about today. With popularresistance.org, this has been Cascadia for August 1st, Tuesday, 2017. Judy Feastel engineered the show today. Thanks, Judy. Derek Crooks is AAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts! Know your rights! Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.